Good evening. For having omitted who the speaker was going to be tonight when I did announcements this morning, I hate speaking to an empty room. And I was afraid that might be the situation if I told you. So I'm glad you're here this evening.
Shrink the screen for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. All right. Oh, yeah, and then I'll just use this one. I will not. Love technology. Wonderful thing. I think I don't have it on is actually what's wrong here. Mm-hmm. I see it. I'll do this once, twice a year max. No? I still have no movement. Inner on which one? Oh, on the computer. Okay. All right. And so, what if I want to go back?
Backspace.
Okay. What happened to the old days? You just open your Bible and start preaching. All right. I'm sorry. We're getting off to a rough start here, and we have so much to cover tonight. This will be talking about charity. If you'd like to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that's where our text will primarily be from tonight. I'm going to start out in the King James because it is the basis of where I got the idea, but we will be changing at a point to English Standard so it's more convenient for everyone in the room. Once again, Cameron staying with us has become an interesting experiment. I'm learning a great deal after having not had children in the house for a while. We don't see our grandchildren very often. We joke about being the worst grandparents in the world because we hardly ever see them. So we've gotten used to being alone and just set in our ways. So now Cameron's with us, and he comes to us a couple weeks ago wanting to make that card that I wrote this morning for you, how to respond to your generosity. Well, what scripture do I find about charity? So once again, I draw an example from him because we had to help him understand about verses of charity. And doing so, it caused me to think about this particular scripture and how the Old English language translated the word love as charity there, because they saw it in these acts of love, or these acts of charity, they saw love. And so it's a matter of translation. And so in most of your translations, everywhere it says charity in the King James English, it says love in the new way of speaking. And yet, there is a distinction. These are the things we do for one another. And so it's just this evening will just be an overview because I cannot do it justice in the time that I'm allowed this evening. This is what we generally think of as charity. Most of us think, okay, charity, that's when I'm going to put a goods or a service in someone else's hand because I should, because there's a need. Well, and that is one concept of charity. And that has some basis in this word. And then again, there's the idea of extending love. That's how we think of charity in God's word, because we know that it comes from the same word originally, and that we are showing love one to another. But is it just love? Is it just works? Merriam-Webster's dictionary, of course, being a secular book, said it is benevolent goodwill. It's love towards humanity. A generosity, helpfulness, especially towards the needy and the suffering. See, that's how the world sees charity, where someone who has gives to someone who hasn't. And that's how they view charity. In fact, they go on to say, and they list secular institutions that also are referred to as charities, because that's their whole function. And yet, in Vine's expository dictionary, which is based in God's Word, says charity, oh, you just need to go look at love. Is it a contradiction? I would suggest to you, no, it is the same thing. because our actions are based in our love, and our love has action. Now, we see in chapter 13, we're going to see a list of things that have to do, well, I've got ahead of myself, actually. There was a point I wanted to make before I got there. I'm sorry. So now, having established that love and charity are the same word, don't be afraid that as we go through here, if they are interchangeable. If we use the word love in a scripture, such as when we reference John chapter 13 and verse 34, where John commands us to have love for one another, that isn't a problem with charity, because that is still showing charity. But as we go ahead now, since I've done this, and let's go ahead and look at chapter 13, and we see that in verse 4, we see that charity is long-suffering. Okay, now, when each of us, as we think to ourselves, I'm a charitable person. I do things that are charitable. I do things to show my love for the brotherhood. I do things to show my love for my neighbors of the world, even. Okay, I want to think about this list and see if we meet the measure. Are we long-suffering when there's people that may be annoying, they may be trying on our patience? God's long-suffering to us. Are we to our neighbors? Are we to our brothers and sisters? Charity is kind. Love is kind. Now remember, the King James calls these each an act of charity. The rest of your translations refer to them as acts of love. It doesn't envy. Now that's one that's easy to creep into the church, into an individual. Well, we profess to be a good Christian. We profess to be strong in the faith. At times we can't envy those who have situations or goods or things that we wish we had. It's not puffed up nor proud. Pride will be an issue tonight. We're going to talk about that a little bit, because pride can become a problem in any situation. As we talked about when we talked about love and we talked about forgiveness the last two times I spoke to you, each of them had an element where pride could be a problem for them. In verse 5, we see that love is not rude. Love is not self-seeking. Charity is not self-seeking. I don't do things for a brother or sister so that I appear important, so that I appear to be a charitable person, so that I appear to be superior to them. And that's what it's about. Well, that isn't what they meant, Eric. They were just, maybe they were helping, and maybe they got a little bit of self-gratitude out of it. No, but that makes them wanting to be superior to the other person. It's at the root of it. We might not want to say it out loud, but it's the truth. Charity is not easily provoked. And not rejoicing in iniquity. I failed to mention there is a meeting discussing the very pornography and how to get out of the pit. And I probably should have announced that this morning. I've been counseling someone in the last month or so about why pornography is bad. And the root of it, I tried to press, besides all the other evils of it, was that you're rejoicing in someone else's iniquity. You should want them to come out of sin, not join them in the sin. But charity does rejoice in truth, this truth right here. The truth is laid out before us, so we know what God wants. That's where we find our joy, if we're charitable, if we're loving. Charity always protects. Do we protect the brotherhood, the brothers and sisters, the church? Do we always trust one another? If we don't have trust, if we have trust issues within the church, then we have a problem. Either somebody is untrustworthy and they need to be spoken to about that, or we have trust issues and we need to learn to get past that. Okay? There are those of us who have been hurt in the past. We've been cheated somehow. We've been betrayed in some manner, and it can cause trust issues, but we need to learn to shake it off where the Lord's church is concerned. Charity always hopes. Love always hopes. We have hope, the hope in Jesus Christ. Not that vague hope that the world has, that the lottery might come in for them, that they might get a good job or a bigger car, but that hope, the assurance of hope that we have that Christ will return, that he did raise from the dead. Charity always perseveres. Love never fails. Charity never fails. So this evening, having referred to John once before, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Excuse me. And also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. That's how the world will know we're truly faithful to God's word, that we're truly faithful saints within Christ's church, is if we have love for one another. A church that's bickering and backbiting, that's not charitable to one another, is only seen by the world as a foolish place to be. We cannot teach the lost if they see us fighting. So this evening, I want to quickly do a quick overview. We could spend an entire lesson on each one of these, but we're going to ask each of these, at least the pointer works. We're going to ask each of these questions about charity. Actually, we're not. Where is going to be really brief because I forgot where. I was trying to get the lesson together. I don't know what happened. I got all the others, and Pam was helping me put it on PowerPoint. Then she goes, where's where? I don't know. So anyway, there won't be a where. We're going to say, where is everywhere? Okay? Now notice, in the 13th verse, 1 Corinthians 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is love. I insisted on using the King James up till now, because that was the root of what we're talking about tonight. Cameron wanted to understand about charity, and then we had to bring it down to charity is love, brother. The greatest of these is love. Today we want to ask who distributes charity. Now we need to be careful, guard ourselves against we're not this person as we're passing out our love, our charity. We don't want to be the self-righteous person that wants to be seen by other people, because we see that those people who do charitable gifts, who do loving things to be seen of men, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. You have your reward. That scripture tells us. You have your reward. You got what you need from getting the attaboys from everybody around you. And we also don't want to be this person who says to the folks, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled without giving them the things they need for the body. What good is that? So we've got to consider. We don't want to just give people things, goods and services. That's not what charity in the Bible sense is. I don't just give someone something in their hand and think I've done my duty. But on the other hand, I can't say to Brother Glenn there, I see you're in need. I love you. Good luck. No, there's got to be more than that. I've got to actually see to his needs. So it becomes a merger of the two things. We see here, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, I would suggest that I could include that. I'm commanded to take care of the orphans and widows. I have no choice in that matter. But I would suggest any brother or sister in need, if Glenn calls me and he says, I have a need, I should be there for him. Now, I'm required to do these things, but I'm also required to keep myself undefiled from the world. We all need to do that. So we don't want to stop at just the charitable givings. The Salvation Army would have you believe that that's all it's about, is the charitable doings. But there's more to pure and undefiled religion than that, than just the charitable acts. But we are required to do these for one another, to have the purity and love in the church. Exceptions? Exclusions? Kids? Nope. Because we have to teach them while they're young. I'm sure Josh is teaching his children even now, and Brady's being taught even now to do loving things, charitable things for people. Okay? The elderly? Did my mother retire from having to be good? Do nice things for people? Nope, didn't get out of it that easy. Okay. How about red-haired people? Left-handed people? Women, men? No, there are no exceptions. No exceptions for any of us. We see the rich man Lazarus. And we're not going to go into it too long today. But we all know the story. We all know the story. And we see basically it comes down to this, which I had marked on my copy of this, but I don't have it in front of me right now. Child, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, bad things. But now he is comforted, and you are in anguish. So again, the rich man got his reward. He got what he wanted, but he didn't bother to love. He didn't bother to have charity in his heart. And so now he's paying a price for it, whereas Lazarus Abraham's bosom. There's only one hindrance to this giving of charity. And that's a hard heart. That's an unwillingness to do God's will. An unwillingness to bend our knee to Christ. We are given commandments, and so we have to choose whether we're going to do it or not. Like all the commands we're given as Christians. Now, I should be, at this point, already talking about who receives this charity, which is why I had this slide. That's all right. So the needy, are the needy in need? Was Lazarus in need? Yes, he was. There was a need. But again, it's not just money. And I will throw this one little point out. Having been here so many years now and having sat through so many business meetings, a need arises, and we are very willing and dedicated to give to that need, whether it be the treasury or in our pocket. I have many times somebody has come here and said, I have a need, and the men have all reached in their pockets, and women, too. I don't mean just not they women, it's usually when I'm the one carrying the word that somebody has a need, it's usually in a group of men. But you ladies have stepped up and done wonderful things, great things for Sister Okech, actually her name's not Okech. Anyway, in Africa. But anyway, the point is we'll throw money at something, a lot of money, very generously. But if the word goes out that, well, we need to go over here and see to this person's needs physically, a lot of times we get the old, I'm busy that day, got to be somewhere. You know, the old, I don't really want to get my hands in this. And we have to. Sometimes we're going to have to get in there and give someone a hug. Give someone the mourning as they mourn. We're going to have to give them the counseling they need, more than just giving money to a situation. So there are needs where money's needed. We know there are orphans and widows. In our midst, many times, they're here. But how about the weak in faith? How about the weak in ability? How about the those in need of a life lesson? Those in need of helping? You know, I know there's a sister in this room that used to help another sister balance her checkbook. Okay? Because she didn't know how. And I would never embarrass either of them by sharing that out loud, but I'm personally inside grateful for that sister that she did that. Okay? The lady didn't know how, and somebody had to help her. How about a car repair? How about a home repair? Advice. This is a big one for me because I always tell all of you, advice is free. Some of the brothers come to me, some don't. Yeah, if you want to hire our company, come over and do a job for you. If you want me to come help you, I can do that too. But if you want some advice is free. I have the knowledge. Take advantage of it. So, and I'm sure other men can do the same. There are things I don't know how to do. And so someone could give me that same advice. So we need to be there for one another. We need to put on charity. That's what Colossians, let me see if I have that up here. Yeah. All right. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That's the root of it all. A love for one another binds us together. The only hindrance here before I go on to win, now we talked about the hindrance on the giver's side from being a hard heart. What is the hindrance on the receiver's side? It's pride. And I'm going to tell myself here real quick. I know I need to talk fast, so I need you to listen fast tonight. But after business meeting here, there are several of us that come from Rusheville. Some of the wives had to go back. We're not all going to stay in Kokomo all afternoon. I really hate having to ask somebody for a ride there. Isn't that the silliest thing you ever heard? It's prideful of me, but I hate having to ask Jeff to give me a ride home. I don't know why I'm like that. I should quit it. He's happy to give me a ride home. But so the only thing hurting us from accepting the charity that we're supposed to be getting, we're supposed to be receiving, we're supposed to be giving, the only thing that hurts it is pride. Okay. So when are we doing this? Colossian letter tells us, and if I push the right button, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God for through the Father through him. Everything we do is to be Christ-like. If he's commanded us to be loving and charitable, I guess that tells us when we're doing it at all times. 1 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, let no one despise your youth, but set believers example of speech and conduct in love, there's that charity word again, in love and charity, in faith and in purity. So it wasn't enough that he told Timothy how to do and what to do, not to let anybody despise your youth. You're going to be strong. You're going to be serious about the truth. Stand up to them. But you're going to do it in love. Okay? So that's when we're doing it, in all times. And, of course, the what is, of course, charity, but within the what are we doing? We have our gifts. Gifts that differ according to the grace to us. Let us use them. Prophecy and service, serving. Teaching. One who exhorts in exhortation. One who contributes in generosity. And one who leads with zeal. And one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Each of us will do what we can in a charitable and a loving manner to help the whole body grow. That's what we do. That's why we're here. And of course, the why. I want to go back to the what. I had some other thoughts that I want to share that I didn't bother to put on a slide. But think about it. In a more generic term, now I read that scripture to you. There are a lot of cords up here, Josh. Yeah. I didn't realize what a tangle you had to work with up here. You know, I read to you a very, very good verse about what God says to us through the Apostle Paul. But what does that mean to us? I'd like to lay it out a little easier. What it means is we're going to use our time. We're going to use our ears to listen to our brothers and sisters. We're going to use our eyes to see a problem before they have to ask for help. We're going to use our feet to move to what they need done. We're going to use the tools at our disposal, whether they be skills we have or actual tools. I have a barn full of tools. Maybe someone needs a tool. Maybe somebody needs me to bring that tool and do something for them. And the advice I spoke to you about. And tutorage. I'm having fun watching my wife tutor Cameron, and I understand from from certain teachers that I happen to know that he's actually doing better in school. So that's good to hear, and I'm glad it's working out. Here's why we do it. Right, here's why we do it. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, we have machine repairmen here. We have tool makers. We have engineers that worship here. And you each would have your own place. You would see that, yeah, these go together like that. I'm a builder. My brain immediately goes there. I think about how things are put together and how when you fit things together properly, they don't fall down. If you don't build them properly, they fall down. And when you put a joint together, like a dovetail in a drawer, it can't come apart. That's what we have to be. And we do it in love. Okay? That's how we keep the Lord's body sound. It's our duty. I got ahead of myself. That's all right. It's our duty. That's why we do it. As Christians, we're commanded to do it. Ends the discussion right there. I will never forget growing up. Growing up, I was here till I was about 10, and then we came back when I was about 16. I've been here ever since. But old Brother Wyman used to sit right over there, and he would say, God said it. Good enough. Where's the discussion? Okay? Point taken. It pleases the Lord for us to do what he's commanded us to do. We'll do it with a joyful heart. I have a note here somewhere I want to remind myself. Don't remember what it is. We do it with a joyful heart. If we're not joyful about our service to the Lord, about our love for our brothers and sisters, how can we be here? How can we think that heaven is open to us? Too many times I have met Christians who went through the motions of sitting in the pew, singing the songs, saying the prayers, being here every time the building's open, and looking across the room and thinking, I can't stand that woman. I hate my neighbor. I think they're trying to steal my property. Those 2 inches. My border should be 2 inches further over. I'm sure of it. I don't care where them stakes are. I really don't like that guy. I hate the way he does this and so. And we think we're going to go to heaven like that? I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. We need to adjust our attitude. So, of course, I've belabored this point, but I don't think I can go too far with it. We're going to do it with love of the brotherhood. And if you don't have it, it needs to grow. If you don't have it, we need some more study. If you don't have it, you better find it. Because we cannot love God if we hate our brother. He told us that. There's no way around it. Not grudgingly. Peter tells us in 1 Peter that we're to love the brotherhood without grudging. I mean, it's very clear. I forgot to give myself a note just exactly what verse it is. That's the one I wanted. But having thought these things through, and I know I was very brief tonight, we could spend a quarter discussing 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I will give you something small to think about. And now I'd like to think about the ultimate act of charity. Which, of course, we know in our vernacular, charity is love, and love is charity. Don't let anybody tell you that there's no works involved in faith. Because love is a work. Charity is a work. We've established that tonight. There are things to be done. I purposely chose a lamb this evening. Josh had a better picture than I had. But I want to stay with his theme for the day. We know that Christ gave himself on our behalf to establish the whole reason that we're here. He showed us how to love through his charitable act on our behalf. He gave himself in charity and love that we might have the remission of sins, that we might have the perfect sacrifice, that we might have an avenue to heaven when we were yet sinners. Each of us need to consider that tonight. I don't see anybody here that needs to obey the gospel, but if you are with us tonight, that can't happen without you joining with Christ in the waters of baptism. But perhaps my lesson is for what it is. If it touched your heart and you've been dealing with some lack of charity, lack of concern for your brothers and sisters, or any other issue you might have in your life where you could use some prayers, you perhaps need to make a public repentance of something, this would be the time to do that too. Let's consider Christ having made that act for us while we stand and sing.